immediately or will be viewing later, because I want to talk to you this morning. And the message title is called Just As I Am. And many of you that things shoot up because that earmarks something in your life, in your journey, if you've been around a number of years, we know that when you hear Just As I Am, you think of George Beverly Shea and how he was used so many, many years with Billy Graham as he ushered in many people into the kingdom. And I want to, as a tribute this morning, I know for some of you know that they had the service yesterday, but he impacted millions, if not billions, of lives. And I believe there's a reason why, and I believe that we're going to revisit that a little bit this morning because of his walk. He was saved at 16 years young in a tent revival, and he determined at that particular point that all he wanted to do was share the love of Jesus for the rest of his life. He began to hold youth tent revivals, and then he began to go from place to place. It's been known that he could have had static? All right. Forgive me. Anyway, his purpose was to bring people closer to the Lord. They said you could have had a massive multi-level church. You could have had positions of power, but he'd heard from God and he knew what his mission was, and that was to get people to understand the love of God. He received many awards, and some of you know of some of them. He was on the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He spoke into 11 different presidents, and 7 of those presidents had him at their inauguration service to pray blessings on their time. That's unbelievable. He preached to audiences, they said, 215 million people in more than 185 countries. He reached millions more through his television, radio, films, and his webcasts. He insisted on racial integration. He had Martin Luther King Jr. minister with him, and he fought against prejudice and racism. And when Martin Luther King Jr. was imprisoned, or we should say jailed, for one of his marches, it was Billy Graham that bailed him out. He recorded, it was been recorded, over 3.2 million people have come to the altar being at his meetings. It's estimated that 2.2 billion people have heard Billy Graham through his time of 99 years, especially after the age of 16. The Gallup poll had a who's who, or who are the most admired men or women. Billy Graham got that 60 different years. Unheard of. Nobody even close to that. And his famous line that many of us that would be in his meetings or we would listen to him, somewhere in there he would say, if you haven't heard anything else, hear this. God loves you. And I'm thinking, what a grace message. What a message of just about God's love to humanity. There's a scripture that the psalmist says in Psalm 16:11. You don't need to turn it. But it says this: in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. It's not just joy, it's fullness. Now listen, if I was to ask you, do you think that he's lost and sometime he comes when we seek his presence? Do you think all of a sudden he shows up? Or possibly is he there all the time, but we tune in to understand and sense his presence? Yes, sir. You see, Billy Graham's message to humanity was to allow us to tune in, to be sensitized that the presence of the Lord is there, and we would get the goosebumps and we'd be wooed. He was raised as a Baptist. He preached as a Baptist pastor, but he did not preach denomination. He preached Jesus, and Jesus, and more Jesus. As a child growing up, my family many times, and I was raised Protestant but not Baptist, my mom and dad and the family would be drawn to the television, and almost every altar call, even though we weren't there, our hearts went to the altar. Because just as we are, we wanted him to know, we love you, Father God, and thanks for being a part of this. In my early years of marriage, my wife raised Catholic. Again, every time we would see that he was on television, we'd sit and we'd watch him. We would both be giving our hearts back to the Lord again as he would open up this veil where we would sense the Lord's presence. Now, I come to realize the presence was always there, but it's us that have to realize that to open up that gate that blinds us from what will cause us to have victory. The beauty of fellowship generated by his presence is what most Christians seek after, but sadly, very seldom get there. And it's not because he's not there. It's because we've allowed our traditions, we've allowed our circumstances, our work schedules, our going after life's successes and whatever, to busy us to not even realize that right there, his presence was waiting to have fellowship with us, his creation. And then we realize, whether we did everything right or not, he loved us just as we are. And just as I am, many people came. The criticisms would always be out there. Oh, how many really stayed serving Jesus? Do you know, it's not about how many stayed. It's how many got into the presence of the Lord and felt a touch from Abba Daddy. I'm thinking the word that the Lord gave to us this morning set the stage. Because I'm telling you, I've been in altar calls when the minister that we've had in has asked, if you did not have a good earthly father example, come to the front of this church. And I can remember the times that there was only two of us that weren't at this altar, which told me very few believers have had a good experience with a spiritual father. And because of that, how can we relate to Heavenly Father? When we get into this presence of the Lord, which is always there, we sense it, we feel it, and we love it. It's what some say, well, I feel goosebumpy, or others will say, I want to get back to the first love. All that normally means is I want to get back to that place where I felt him. He was there all along. But there are certain atmospheres that we can get into. We pray every Sunday that in our worship, you will let that door open, that you will sense that he's here, because he is.
Amen.
And whether you're watching at home or whether you're here in this service, he's there. And he wants you to receive him and know him.
Yes,
Billy Graham had a way of taking the blinders off people. Many were already believers. They didn't realize because they were drawn, they were inspired, they were encouraged. And it wasn't that he had some tricky message. His message was very basic about the love of God, giving your life to Jesus. He never, very seldom ever did I hear him, well, you got this, do this 600 things and then your God's going to love you. It was always about he's there. He wants you. Give your hearts to the Lord. He will fulfill your lives. And when you sense that and you got into that atmosphere, wow.
Amen.
So this morning, my prayer has been all week that the Holy Ghost will allow whatever veils have shielded you from feeling his presence. Because his goal is that in his presence, we're full.
Amen.
There's no lack in any way.
Yes.
It's fullness of joy. And the Lord says that joy is our strength. It's the joy of the Lord. Amen? We don't always understand why things happen or they don't happen. But we do know this. It all works to God's good. Even when we go through horrific things and people say, where was God in all this? He was there, trust me. And he moves what he has to around to get us to this place where we realize he is in our corner. He does love you. Nobody in here chose who you were born to. Nobody chose how you would be raised. Nobody chose what color your parents would be. But the Lord knew because he created you. And he created you for his pleasure. And so this day, as we come to service again and we're with our brothers and sisters, the essence of the Lord wants you to sense that we're family, we're loved ones. The question, who doesn't want to feel loved, known, and accepted?
Amen, brother.
That's the cry of the world. That's the cry of the church. They want to feel. Anybody in here that says they don't like feeling loved, Pastor Mike knows where the psych ward is. It is. It's a desire to feel loved, accepted, and known. God created us that way. And you are accepted, and you're known, and you're welcomed by Him. The birthing of the New Testament church, and one of the scriptures I gave you was in Acts 2 when the church was birthed. But I find it very interesting. The Lord is working all the time for that veil to be removed so we can sense His presence. And Jesus, in all of His walk, was constantly trying to get us in tune to His daddy. He'd say, when you see me, you've seen who? The Father. And yet He gave us a comforter, the Holy Ghost, so that the Holy Ghost would remind us what Jesus said, because He wants us to see His Father as we recognize Jesus. My wife says, if people could only grab a hold of Jesus, that's all we need. And in essence, that is all we need, is to understand and know Jesus, because Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost are one. And they're working on our behalf, and it's beautiful. But in this dimension of Acts 2, it talks about 300 in the upper room, and then or 120 in the upper room. Then it talks about 3,000 just got drawn into the presence of the Father, felt the presence, and gave their hearts to the Lord. And it said that once that happened, they continued steadfastly to want to get back in that presence. And how they stayed in that. Now remember, the God was always there. But for them to get to that place to feel it again, they made sure they stayed in the Word. They prayed. But there's two elements that many times we don't realize that helps us get to that place to feel Jesus and His presence. One was being cemented in koinonia called fellowship. When we get to this place of having fellowship with Jesus, we feel the Father. When we get into relationships of being cemented to one another, we feel the love that we can have one to another. The love, the acceptance, and the realization that we're all creations of Christ. But the other of those four areas that we were challenged strongly by Peter was this. They broke bread together regularly. Later on, a few verses more, it says they supped. They were at each other's house. Do you know when you study the culture, the Jewish culture, one of the premier dimensions of feeling family and loved is eating together. What do you think the first meal we're going to have when we sit around the heavenly table? It's the supper of the Lamb. I mean, there's something significant, family, into this relationships that are established in meals. Amen? And so, they steadfastly made a point. It feels good to get into the presence of the Lord. If you've never sensed His presence, or you're like a multitude of Christians that are I want to, but I don't know what I got to do, and we're getting caught up in our busyness, and we need to just relax. Just focus on Jesus. And listen to the words that we heard earlier about how important it is. Do you know what drove people bananas as Jesus was birthed in the Gospels when we see His birth and His walk? And we know at 30 to 33, He ministered the heartbeat of the kingdom. Was the religious folks? They struggled with it. Now listen, do you know why they struggled with it? Because they had this concept, we want a king. And a king is somebody we're going to give homage to and we're going to bow to, and they're going to just have all this authority and beat everybody down. And when someone came as a servant, that's there fellowshipping, and excuse my bluntness, murderers and whores and swindlers and con artists, that drove them nuts. In fact, it embarrassed them. You're saying our Messiah, and you're hanging out and you're eating with this group, and they know eating is the epitome of all family, and he's eating with swindlers and murderers and harlots. Now, just a thought. If the harlots and the swindlers and the thieves are attentively listening to Jesus, who's really the lost folks? If they're listening, that means they're hungry and they've opened up this window of heaven. And the ones that supposedly had no issues, the scholars, the religious folks that had no need, well, they had need, they just didn't feel they had need. So who's really lost? So when we look at humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, it means literally, you know what? Thank God you took me just like I am. I didn't have to get cleaned up. I didn't have to do everything perfect. He takes us just as we are. That's a loving God. That's a Father that many can't relate with. But when you begin to, and once you feel that, it's like this morning in prayer, we're talking about experiences in heaven. In heaven, you experience the love of the Father. Man, you can't put it in words. We may be known as a real radical church, but the essence of it, the radicalness, is we just want to get into his presence. Because we know he's already in ours.
Yep.
And when we do, it's cool. I was thinking in the last, and I was focusing on just as I am, he takes me. And I was thinking of the new families, the Gillises or the Scotts, and how it was so, it's been so much fun to have them in our body, but they make a place, and I'll start with the Scotts. They check out Culver's and see if that's a place that we can have break bread with, and we go and we break bread, and we get to know the girls, and we get to talk to mom and dad, and we build relationship. Now let me just tell you, I'm in your presence now, and others, everybody in here is in your presence, but we really don't have that presence back unless we spend time getting to know each other. I don't know how many times Dion, through the course of time, Pastor, I need to have lunch with you. And so it's nice, he can come in the presence, but to come, break bread, and have relationship, or the Gillises, Jackie and Adam and the girls, get to go, or the Barneses, and we get to know about you and get to talk about you. Do you know Abba Daddy's just waiting for us to just know him better?
Amen.
Do you know he gave us that avenue down here that we would have time with one another? Because I got something I'm going to tell you here, and I hope I don't step on your toes. Your strongest source is your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, if your biological family is in love with the Lord, that's great, you know, and they can be a source too. But I find a lot that's not the source of their comfort and love and acceptance. And if we don't have that dimension with one another, there is a void, a lack, and we retreat. The Lord sees that happening, and he's positioning things so that we get more and more in the understanding that he's there.
Amen.
And he wants us to have fellowship with him. The broken people, we're cheering and crying out to God. The religious ones don't need that. I hope we stay as a broken bunch of men and women and children that love God and want to be with each other. My wife says, how can we be with everybody? We can't, but we can be with each other. And we can sense the presence of the Lord in each life, but it takes a priority. Nobody makes us come to church on Sunday. Nobody makes you to align your schedule so you can have precious time and get to know others. But you know how valuable that is? Stop and think about it. The relationships that you would maybe even die for are probably relationships that you've established and built relationships outside of just coming to a service. Am I wrong? No. We need each other. The Lord wants us to come as we are. And the reason how we know we're accepted as we are is because we look around and we're family and we're brothers and sisters. Amen. You know how Jesus tried to show in that transitional scriptures of the Gospels how important we are and how different it was for the religious folks? Look at me, church, and those that are listening. Religion has been doing everything it can to have a separation between leadership and the heartbeat of God's body. But Jesus has been attacking and breaking down, and unless the Lord builds the church, it's just a bunch of busy stuff. Relationships and the strength of a church, and my leadership here knows that I've said this many times, you do not build this church on how great our worship is. You do not build this church on how great the message Mike and I bring. You build this church on getting into a relationship with Jesus and each other. And where it keeps people connected is they establish relationships with others. And when you don't have that relationship, it's so easy to just, goodbye, we're off. That's the same thing with the Lord. He wants us to be so ingrained into this relationship. This is what the religious leaders, they'd had it. Jesus trying to hang out with these not so good folks. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read out of the Message, so you may want to just listen. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputations were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and the religious scholars were not very pleased. In fact, not pleased at all. They growled. He takes in sinners. He eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered Jesus' next story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and you lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you could be sure you would put the lost one across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, you'd call all your friends and neighbors saying, come on over, let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner than all those that are already in the camp. Father God is after everyone. And if you've already made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're in. That's great. But it doesn't take away the excitement that he's after everyone. The murderers, the swindlers, the harlots. Isn't that a beautiful father?
Yes, sir.
Count on it. More joy in heaven over one sinner that's rescued life than those 99 that are already in no need of rescue. Thank God as I look at you and the many that will be viewing that are already rescued. But it's not a time that we don't get excited over those that still need to be rescued. And I got a personal thing to say. I think we need to be rescued every day. I think the Lord wants us to be so needing him every day that he becomes our total source. I'm talking about no stress, no troubles, because we are focusing that our Abba Daddy has taken us just as we are today. Anybody ever lost it? Felt guilty or beat up? The Lord wants you to know that you'll never be lost in him. I was thinking of my relationship with my wife when I was in high school, and she probably didn't know me at all. We were in the same physical science, and I was telling her that I was in her presence because I was in that class. But I really wasn't in her presence until she recognized me and we began to have a relationship, friendship. Then it was good. And I'm thinking, Father God is just waiting. He's in our presence and he's just waiting for all the frustration and the religiosity and all the things that damaged us as we were born, and we don't want anything to do with church and church life because they're a bunch of hypocrites, and we filter through it Ah, Father, it feels good to get into your presence. Because in it is fullness of joy. I can just imagine the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders, just their mouths being open. Whoa. Jesus continues. And then he says, there once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided his property between them. It wasn't long before the younger one packed his bags, and he left for a distant country. There, being undisciplined and dissipated, he wanted everything he had. After he'd gone through all his money, there was a bad famine through all the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to the fields to slop the pigs. Now, you got to realize, if he's signing on to somebody that's slopping pigs, he's not signing on to someone that's Jewish. Because remember, that was forbidden. Okay? So he's signing on. He says, and it's brought to his attention. He said, all these farmhands working for my father, I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to see his father. When he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, kissed him. The son started his speech, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. I believe there's a lot in the church that beat themselves up and feel guilty and just looking, oh, I'm not worthy of it. And this is the response of an earthly father. Can you imagine our heavenly father? The father wasn't listening. Heavenly father's not listening to the nonsense because he loves you just as you are. That's hard for natural people to wrap their arms around. It was hard for the Pharisees to wrap their arms around it. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothing and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time with my son here. Again, what is being prepped? A meal. Meals are significant in establishing and relationships. And yet, many times when we've been hurt or we're too busy, that's the last thing I want to think about. And yet, it's a source of strength. He'd given up dead, and now he was alive. He's given up for lost, and now he's found. They begin to have a wonderful time. This is what heaven does. When somebody comes to him, they have a wonderful time. It says all the angels and everybody hearken when somebody been lost and now they're found. All this time, his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked, what's going on? He told him, your brother came home. Your father has ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has him home, safe and sound. And the older brother, who was trying to keep all the law, do everything proper, stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk him in, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, look, how many years have I stayed here serving you, going to church? No, let me paraphrase. Never giving one moment of grief, but have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then the son of yours who has thrown away your money on whores, he shows up and you go all out with a feast? His father said, son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time and everything I have is yours. But this is a wonderful time. And we are having a celebration. This brother of yours was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and he's found. See, Jesus is always trying us to see how the Father looks and wants us right there. Not to clean up your act. And some of you that were raised in church life and you did everything proper, that's great, but they don't give you a heads up on anybody that didn't. I believe that there this next move, and you heard me share a couple weeks ago, but I believe the next move is going to be, the veils are going to come off, and we're going to sense the presence of the love of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to want that so bad that people are going to see it all over us, getting off us, and they're going to run to this presence called Jesus. And Jesus, when you know him, he makes us what? Free. There's coming a freedom to the body of Christ, because we're going to get beyond all the religiosity and all the do's and don'ts. It's not saying we're looking to just be rotten. We're just looking to realize our Abba Father loves us just as you are. Amen?
Amen.
I asked my wife if she would prepare. I want to read a few words to that famous song, and then I want to challenge all of you and challenge the listening. This is what the song Just As I Am, where 3.2 million people responded and sensed the presence of the Lord and made some acclamation or declaration to Jesus. It says, just as I am, without one plea, but by your blood that was shed for me, and that you bid me come to you, Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to get rid of the soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood has cleansed all the spots, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts all about, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Now I'm going to ask, as we dim the lights, I want to give you a challenge this morning. I believe that most of you in here have come to Jesus, but I believe that this is a day of fresh releases. And as we sing this song, I'm going to ask, if you're a tug and you just want to take a stand to say, you know what, Lord, I come again just as I am to let you know that I'm yours. And I'm going to, as we close singing this, I'm going to give a challenge to you that are watching on Facebook. And I'm going to ask each and every one of you that will make a decision to present yourself. You may already be saved, but you're saying, Lord, it's a fresh day. I want to have a release. I want you to know I'm still here. I'm still serving you. You may want to stand where you're at. And I'm going to ask all of us if we would stand here and join in as we sing these verses. And then I'm going to ask you to come, even as we sing, and just make a group around the altar. And I'm just going to pray with my brothers and sisters a blessing. Come just as you are.
Just as I am, without one plea, oh, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, oh, Lamb of God.
another verse or two, but I just want to encourage, if you've not and you want slip, this is the body of Christ, and we're declaring to the Lord Jesus afresh that just as we are coming to the altar. Those that are viewing on Facebook, again, just stand where you're at. Believe God. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, do it today. He'll take us just as you are. Again, just close your eyes, body of Christ, as you look at your brothers and sisters that are here to celebrate this fresh touch of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Just as I am for wretched blind, thy riches healing of the mind. Yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for right now. You see each and every life that afresh today are declaring again the Lordship of Jesus. And Lord, we've come just as we are with all our weakness and frailties, but in you, Christ Jesus, we're whole. And we can as a body do all things through you. And Father God, thank you for sending us Jesus. Jesus, thank you for sending the Holy Ghost. And right now, far and near, I thank you for each and every life that's reaffirming that Jesus, you've taken us just as we are, never to be the same. May this be a day of infusing freshness, breakthroughs. Father, may this day be a new beginning of a walk more powerful because we see and sense you right there all along. And Lord, we do give you the praise. We call your heart our heart. We thank you, Father God, and give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Now greet one another, family, as we sing.